Hello, and welcome to another episode of Old Faces. I'm your host, Mr. Mocha. And on today's episode, I am hanging out with Drew Marston. He is the creator, owner, and editor of Spades Magazine. He is an experienced bull. He brings a lot of really good information to the lifestyle. So, as usual, I'm going to jump right into it. Welcome, Drew. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Glad to be on the podcast. Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, so just so everyone can know, I actually stumbled across Drew's page and I was intrigued. So I reached out to him and invited him on the show. And then, you know, we find out that we know a lot of the same people. So it's like, okay, that works.
Right.
Makes life easier. So, Drew, how did you get into the lifestyle? Where did it all begin for you?
So I had a buddy of mine who stumbled upon it, and we were good friends kind of like in our formative teen years. And he knew that I always had a thing for, you know, the older woman, the MILF type. He used to joke that whenever we go over to, we actually met in church, and whenever we go over to somebody's house, right? He said, whenever we go over to somebody's house, he was looking at the daughter and I was looking at the mom. So like he knew my type. And so anyway, we lived in Southern Indiana at the time, and he ended up moving to Central Indiana, to Indianapolis, and kind of stumbled upon the lifestyle and got involved with it and told me about it. He's like, hey, I think this is going to be something that you would like. A lot of the, you know, the kind of women that you go for are in this lifestyle. You should come and check out a party. So he invited me to this house party takeover deal, and I went to that, just kind of sat back and watched and interacted with some people, and I was like, oh yeah, this is something that I want to do. And later on, met a couple of local couples and just kind of been in it since then.
Okay, so your introduction to the lifestyle, I know you are a bull now, but did you start off with your first time playing in the lifestyle? Was it at that party or?
No, I didn't play at that party. I was just mostly observing a lot of different things. And it was kind of a bit overwhelming. I didn't think I was, you know, like ready to, I just kind of wanted to experience it, you know, almost like as a voyeur. And he knew the people who ran the party pretty good. They normally didn't allow that kind of thing, but because they knew him and he vouched for me, they allowed that. And I met a lot of great couples. As a matter of fact, one of the very first couples that I ended up playing with when I went back to Indianapolis a couple of months later was a couple that I met there at that party. So,
Okay. And so your introduction into playing, were you just playing as a single guy or did you jump right into the cuckolding lifestyle, or did you start off playing with a hot wife? Where did you enter?
Yeah, I just started off playing as a single guy. Like at the beginning, I really didn't know terms and terminology and all of that kind of stuff. I learned later from, you know, my buddies, from talking to some friends, from talking to some others. And then a lot of it was learning from like watching porn and things like that. And so that's where I really started to learn terminology. But yeah, at the beginning, it was just, you know, me as a single guy meeting up with couples and playing.
Okay. So how long was it before you started leaning into the cuckolding experience?
Well, so I would say it was probably, I met probably my first real cuckold couple about 2 years in.
And you've been in for 16, right?
Yeah, I've been in for 16 altogether. About 2 years in, I met my first cuckold couple. They defined themselves as a cuckold couple. it was very much more so an FLR kind of relationship. She was clearly the one that was in the driver's seat. He was very attuned to like her needs and pleasure. And whenever we were together, it was a great dynamic because we had really, I mean, we vibed very well together. There would be times when we'd go out to dinner before we play, go back to the hotel, play, sit there and have conversations, great conversations between the three of us and play some more. I mean, most of the time when we played after our first couple of times, it was usually like a thing that lasted at least 2 days into the weekend or something like that. We made a whole thing out of it. But that was like my first time dealing with a couple that defined themselves as a cuckold couple and understanding that dynamic. I didn't really understand probably until about year 10. That was kind of the dynamic that I preferred to play with, just based on my experiences. But that year two, that couple was really the first cut couple that I played with. And I played with them for about 4 years. We were, you know, a thing.
Okay. Okay. Now, while you were playing with that couple, were you playing with other couples as well, or were you exclusive?
No. I was playing with other couples. Okay. I've never had an exclusive deal with a couple as of yet. I did have one couple that I met where, and they introduced me really to the whole polyamorous aspect of it, because the wife was looking for a boyfriend and the husband was very cool with that. And so that's really kind of what that, she had talked to me in the beginning about that's something that she was looking for. And the more she got to know me, she felt like I was that guy for her. And so I was really kind of looking for a relationship at that time, and it was very appealing. And so that developed into like a relationship where she and I were boyfriend and girlfriend. We go out for dates. She'd come over and stay at my apartment and things like that. But I was also really good friends with her husband. And while we were together, they didn't consider themselves a couple, but their dynamic by the time we parted ways, because they ended up moving to the other side of the country, they considered themselves a couple.
Okay. Was that also a female-led relationship, or?
Not in the beginning, but it had the feel of a female-led relationship, because it was really her that was calling the shots about wanting a boyfriend. But it was very, for them, they didn't call it that, and he wasn't like submissive or anything like that. He was more of just a voyeur, but he was very attuned to what she wanted, and he was very into making sure that she was getting her pleasure. In every other aspect of their life, it was, you know, he was, you know, the guy, like he was the, you know,
the
person in charge. But in that particular aspect, he was more willing to take a back seat.
Gotcha. So yeah, that I definitely wouldn't consider that a female led relationship. You know, I've definitely interacted with couples where it was very much a female led relationship. You know, it's like, you know, a household and a hyena relationship. You know?
Yeah, I've been with those where, like, you know, there's a couple of times where I've talked to the husband. They're like, yeah, no, you talk to the wife first. My first female like relationship, you would talk to the wife always first.
Yes.
And then you would talk to, you know, and he's like, yeah, whatever you guys agree on, I'm good with.
Yeah. I think the first time I encountered that, I was, you know, just being conditioned to always go through the husband was very strange. It took me a minute to adjust to that, you know? And so, mm-hmm. that is always a very interesting, it was in the beginning a very interesting experience, because you're trying to show respect to the guy and, you know, he's deferring to her and he's like, dude, you know, he's saying it and all, but words he's saying, dude, please, for the love of God, refer to her, not me. You're gonna give me trouble, you know. That's why I said like the hyena relationship. You know, the female hyenas are bigger, stronger, and they're very dominant, you know, within their society. You know, so it's, you know, when you see those relationships, it's like, oh wow, okay, that really does exist. You know. So that's pretty cool that you were able to experience that early on. I didn't encounter that until later on in my journey. So
yeah, I've been very fortunate that I've met some pretty good and decent people. And I've had a lot of positive experiences, even with couples that, you know, I no longer play with. A lot of times because of distance, you know, they're still some of my really good friends. And at the holidays, a lot of times, or especially like the holidays and my birthday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, I'll wake up to like 5 or 6 texts from couples that I used to play with. And like, I haven't heard from like my actual family yet. So,
nice.
You know?
Nice.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of positive there.
So when you were when you were her boyfriend, mm-hmm. was she the only person you were playing with, or were you still playing with others?
I was still playing with others. I wasn't playing as much. So she was local, and there was for part of the time that we were together, there was another lady that I was playing with that lived about an hour or so from me. And my understanding at the time when we met and played and we had really good chemistry, was that she was single, but I later found out that she wasn't. She was actually married, but she was going behind her husband's back. She was kind of in a bad relationship kind of deal where like her husband just wasn't, it just kind of checked out of the marriage apparently. And so those two were really the two that I was seeing. And then occasionally I would meet up with a couple, but she was very cool with that. She didn't want to like limit me. Like she gave me, you know, free will to do whatever, as long as I, you know, was protecting myself and not bringing something back, you know, just, it was a very open relationship.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. So now we've got to the, we've gone down the road. You've got the experiences. I'm always interested in asking guys, what's their process? Okay. How do you meet couples? Like, are you on date? You know, have you done dating websites? You know, how do you meet couples?
So for me, how I initially met couples was Adult Friend Finder and Craigslist Personals when that was a thing. In Southern Indiana at that time, Craigslist Personals was really...
I'm glad. Now I believe that you've been in the lifestyle for 16 years, because any dude who says they've been in the lifestyle, if they don't bring up Craigslist, they're fucking lying. Like, if you tell me you've been in for like 16, you know, 15, 16 years, like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know Craigslist.
Hey, Craigslist was, man, I almost cried when they said Craigslist was going down, because Craigslist, I met it.
Boy.
I met a lot of great couples on Craigslist. And, you know, it was between, especially like local couples. So in Southern Indiana, where I lived at the time, I lived in a city called Evansville, Indiana. And Evansville Evansville is really surrounded by a lot of rural areas. So my first couples, a lot of times I was having a lot of one-on-one interactions with couples. I wasn't going to house parties because that scene doesn't exist there. No such thing as hotel takeovers. And I really wasn't familiar with the Indianapolis scene like that. And I was meeting enough couples that I really didn't care about Indianapolis scene. So, and a lot of times those couples were from rural areas, didn't know any black people. And so like, it was like a long time fantasy of, you know, wanting to see my wife with a black guy. The wife's always been kind of attracted to black guys, but it was a no-no. So there was a lot of those. But you'd meet some of those on Craigslist. Like, they'd come into town, want to play at the local casino and, you know, have a date or whatever. And that was really where I met a lot of couples. As things evolved, when I started Space Magazine, my profile on Twitter, which is where I had Space, a lot of the social media aspects for Space Magazine, and on Tumblr at the time before yet another purge, I actually met a lot of couples through that would reach out to me, either wanting to do interviews or were impressed by the blog, which it was at the time, and would reach out to me, and I would meet couples that way. And a lot of times, couples that I end up profiling and interviewing, you know, I would meet.
Nice.
And
nice.
If you're in our town, come play. You know, we'd love to meet you. So, and Adult Friend Finder. Adult Friend Finder was pretty big in the area at that time.
I used to fucking hate Adult Friend. I loved it, but I hated it at the same time. Like,
See, that's the thing. Like, it's Adult Friend Finder was like a real regional thing. Like in Indiana, Indiana, St. Louis, Indianapolis, Louisville. When I go to those places, Adult Friend Finder was great for me. If I went to Nashville, Atlanta, Adult Friend Finder was a dud.
Yeah,
you know. But then, one of the things I've learned, and I haven't really been on like SDC and SLS and Cassidy, because I was always having success meeting couples in other ways. I never really paid much attention to those. And one of the things I've learned from talking to other like couples and bulls and different things, different people in the lifestyle, is that a lot of those sites tend to be regional.
Yes, like, they're, you know, all regions. They're all regional. Yes.
Yeah. Some do way better than others. So.
Yeah, that is so true. So I have to, you know, I've made this comment off mic before, so I'm going to make it now because, you know, if you listen to the podcast, you know that I say what the fuck I want to say.
Right.
I think that when it comes to successful bulls and manicorns, if the sum total of your experience are house parties and hotel takeovers, I think not all, but a high percentage of those guys are deficient. Because if you haven't had when you go to a hotel takeover, or you go to a hotel party, or you go to a club, a sex club, it's pretty much, we know that people are here with the idea of, at the very least, possibly fucking.
Yeah.
All right. But when you got to, you know, rough it like the guys who had to be on Craigslist or even different websites where you have to do everything from the initial conversation, you know, moving from typing to an actual conversation to a meet. When you're trying to determine if this couple is real, if this couple is fake, when you're trying to determine, is this couple on the same page, when you're trying to determine, you know, are they the right fit for me or am I the right fit for them? You know, then you have the actual physical interaction, like where you go and meet and you speak to them in person. And now you're trying to say, you know, when you experience the holy shit, that picture was 37 years old, you know, or, you know, wait, this lady is batshit crazy, or this guy is out of his mind. Like, all of those things that you experience, they hone your skills. They give you, I think they give you more, I may, maybe situational awareness is maybe that's
oh,
not
for
a,
sure.
Is that a good way to put
no,
it?
No, yeah, that is a great word. It's an art form. the more you do it, it really becomes an art form. Because if you're paying attention, you're going to learn a lot. For instance, when I first got into the lifestyle, man, I was just like really trying to cast like a wide net, it seemed like. You know, I was just trying to get in where I fit in. And one of the things is you become very vulnerable to the wrong kinds of people. Okay. One of my first experiences, I met this, it was supposed to be a couple. And the guy had sent me pictures of the wife. She was spectacular. Pictures of her playing with black guys and everything. And so I'm like, you know, we're back and forth. We're having a really good rapport. Him and I are, you know, clicking. And at one point he's like, yeah, I'm going to let you talk to the wife. And it didn't work out. And so I'm new and inexperienced. I'm not really thinking, you know, something wrong with this picture. So I end up driving this because Evansville's right next to Kentucky. And so there's it's another little small town in Kentucky. It's about 40 minutes away. And so it's like a Saturday night. I was like, it's like, hey, she'd love to meet up, you know, come on over, love to have you and whatnot. Normally I would have met at like a restaurant, but I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking with my dick. I've seen this chick, I've seen the pictures of her, you know, and I've seen pictures of her with him. Like, so, you know, I'm like, okay, like this chick is bad. Like, this is the kind of wife that I want to get with. So I go over there and meets me up the road because I was having trouble with GPS, get back to the house, walk into the house, and I'm like, okay, something's off here. And he turns around, offers me a drink, and it's like a canned soda because I wasn't taking anything from something that was already open. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah, so you're not exactly the type that she goes for, but you're my type. I'm like, wait a damn minute. I ain't come over here for you. I came over here for her.
You got me.
And yeah, he got me good. And so like now I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good, bro. And he's like, man, you sure? Like, I give better head than she does. I'm like, well, you know, somebody else is going to have to find out. Wow. And, like, I head out. And so I go out to my car and, like, I'm pissed. Because I just drove 40 minutes to get there. And now I got to drive 40 minutes back to get back home. And it was a searing experience for me. But it taught me to up my game in conversation and like how I'm approaching. So when I would like, if you know, with Craigslist, you had to have a good opener, nothing cheesy, nothing like super, you know, corny or, you know, whatever. You had to show that you read the profile and just show a bit of yourself, you know? So you have to like craft something. If you crafted a good enough one, like the real couples would be like, they would send a message back to you. Hey, we're really impressed by your response. That alone got you the date with us. So there was a lot of times when like, I didn't even send like a full face pic or a body pic and definitely not a dick pic because my response set me apart from the other responses that they were getting. So talking to them, finding out what they wanted, what they were looking for. Hey, you want to go and grab a drink? You want to go and grab dinner somewhere? No strings attached, no obligation, just.
Bro, I'm still stuck back at. Well, she decides she don't want to suck your dick, but I got you covered.
I don't even think she ever knew about me.
No, of course not, man. Of course not.
I don't think she ever knew. Now I know that, I mean, walking into the house, it obviously was a family house. There was a woman that lived there because you know what it's like walking into a house.
Yeah, she was on vacation.
And this was obviously a family house. And the pictures that he sent me, it was her with black guys. Mm. You know what I mean? So it was like,
No, it was the mother chick with black eyes. That wasn't her.
No, this was her. It was her face.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So there was points when she played with black guys, and this, and I've met this. I've had this occasion where, or it hasn't gotten that far, but I've had occasions where there's guys who have been sitting there and watching their wife with this black guy or with this other guy, and that awakens something that's kind of latent in them, and they're like, man, I kind of want to experience that myself. And instead of having that conversation with the wife, seeing if she's open to it, if that's something that she would want to participate in, and then finding a guy that would be open to that, they just kind of go about it in like this kind of sleazy backdoor kind of way. Mm. And yeah, and that's what this, I mean, man, the way he, I mean, of course I was inexperienced, but he played me like a fiddle, man. He had to have done that before.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and clearly. Wow. So,
and that to date has been like still, that to date still is my worst experience.
Bro, like, you definitely have me topped. You have me beat because. I always talk about the one where the guy I've been talking to him, and I fucking show up, and the wife looks at me and goes, tells him, "You got to be fucking kidding me," and walks away. Like we've had the conversation. I'm thinking that the chick. So now, this is one of the places where for me to mitigate that.
Yeah.
What I do now. And I lose couples all the time because of this. When I if I'm interacting with somebody on any platform, whether it's on Twitter, SDC, any platform at all, once we establish a mutual physical attraction, mm-hmm. I want to go straight to the phone first. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to you and to your wife. Mm-hmm. I want to know that she knows what's happening. I don't want if it sounds like she's doing this under duress, like if it sounds like, you know, he's, you know, holding her at knife point, or, you know, so. And then after that, because I'll get people who go, oh, well, let's go to, do you have a kick or do you have this or that? No, I don't need that. We've already established mutual attraction. Pick up the phone. All right. You want me to meet you out in public, but you won't speak to me first. So for me personally, that is a red flag. And it's
no,
only,
I get that.
So, but I lose couples like that all the time because they're like, oh, well, no, you know, we don't want to give out our phone number. Or, so it's like, so you want me to fuck your wife. You want me to meet you somewhere. But we can't first simply talk to establish that there's a mutual attraction.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and they don't realize it's experiences. Well, not like that one.
Oh, yeah.
but experiences like the ones I've had.
Well, and that's what people in this lifestyle have to kind of recognize, have to be cognizant of, is that our experiences shape us.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in this lifestyle, but in all areas of our lifestyle, in all areas of our life, but particularly what we bring to this lifestyle and those experiences, our past experiences are shaping that. And so I have to realize that with the couples, and they have to realize that with me, and they have to kind of, you know, think outside of the box on that. So for me, one of the things that I used to do, because I used to meet a lot of local couples, and now a lot of times couples are further away from me. I'm meeting good couples that are further away from me. For instance, I'm in Northern Indiana right now, and I just recently met a couple who heard me on another podcast who ended up having a lot of mutual connections. And they reached out to me on Twitter, and what we did was we set up a virtual date, and I do a lot of those. Hey, let's just, you know, set up a little virtual date, and I either do it through Telegram, because you can make video calls on Telegram, which is what we did with them, or Google Meets.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if they have like a Gmail account, we do something, I'll set up a room and we just, you know, kind of do it that way. And you really get a good vibe from those virtual meets, and they get one from you too. Like, especially if you're just being yourself, you're not acting and, you know, trying to sell, you know, whatever. But I think if you can become comfortable in yourself, especially in this lifestyle, you know, you're basically to the point of you're just going to be you no matter what.
I agree.
And either they're going to vibe with you or they're not.
Yeah.
You know? And so.
Yeah. I like that. I love that idea, because, and that for me is also acceptable, but I will not interact with people past before I can either see you mm-hmm. like virtually or speak to you.
Right.
My interaction is very short. It's very, very short, because you've reached out to me and I find you physically appealing. Mm-hmm. And so now I need to know who you are. For me, the most important thing is always making sure that you're both on the same page, because
exactly.
I can't enjoy myself. You can't enjoy yourself if you're not on the same page. And it's a common occurrence and a common theme throughout the years to have a husband who is overzealous, who is having a conversation with me. And my pet peeves is I talk to somebody and then I'm like, okay, well, I'd love to have a conversation. Oh, well, let me see if my wife's interested. Why the fuck are we talking if you have not first spoken to your wife and let her see me? What are we doing? Exactly. Why are we talking?
Yep.
Drives me crazy. Yep.
No, and those are major red flags. That's one of the things that I've learned in conversing with, like, you know, husbands. All of the great husbands that I've met, all the great cut husbands, great stag husbands, one of the first things that they tell you is they let you know they're the better.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let you know that they have a conversation with you. It's a mutual conversation a lot of times, and it'll go one of two ways. It'll be, hey, let's get you, you know, I think the wife might be interested in you. Let's, you know, kind of, here's her number or here's her contact information. Let's talk to her and, you know, see how you guys vibe. Like, I'm out of this. Or it's, they get to know me, get to know if I'm like going to be a match, and go, okay, let's move on and get her involved. Hmm. If they're upfront honest with me from the beginning, hey, this is like a vetting thing, I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
I completely understand that. I respect that. But if they're approaching me and the conversation is really centered on them and their experiences, like, sirens going off in my head, like, okay, this is some joker that's like trying to get his rocks off with this fantasy, and his wife doesn't know. He's probably, if he had the balls to even broach the subject with her, she ain't interested, you know, those kinds of things.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of these guys that approach you, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, is that a lot of these guys approach you and they want the sexual fantasy that they see in the short clip on Twitter or in what they saw for free on like the Tube site, or if they honied up the money to actually join an OnlyFans and see that. They want that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to put in the work for it. They're afraid to ask their wife that.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's sometimes where I've met some guys where they've talked to their wife and they're devastated because she doesn't want to even broach that subject. Because for a lot of women, what a lot of guys don't understand, and what I've told a lot of guys this, and I didn't understand until I got into the lifestyle, is that a lot of women are conditioned from the time they're in their formative years of what they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody says a hot wife being in a loving relationship with your husband, your partner, and having other male partners or other female partners or whatever, having sexual relationships with others. No one says that that's what you're supposed to do.
Or allowed to do. I think allowed is the thing. Like, are you allowed?
Well, and look how we do it in society. If a guy's out there and he's got a lot of women, he's a stud.
Mm-hmm.
A woman does it, she's a slut.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of these guys kind of have to understand that and approach that. I tell them always, you know, if you get into a conversation with me and you're like, hey, you explain to me, hey, I want to get my wife into this. You know, the only free advice I'm going to give you is that you need to you got to get out of that porn fantasy mindset and get down to like the human interaction. Like, you're married to this woman. You should understand her. You should understand what she's looking for. What she wants out of a relationship. If she doesn't have that from you, then she's not going to explore this other stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that's, that is definitely a thing that I have seen, you know, over the years and consistently. From the very first profile I ever created, you know, in the lifestyle up until now, even the Craigslist days, you create a Craigslist ad and you have, you know, influx of guys who are in there talking to you and trying to get you to interact with them. And unfortunately, there's nothing that I can say to your wife to make her join this lifestyle. There just isn't. And especially in a situation where most of these guys have never broached that subject with their wife.
Exactly.
You know, and, you know, like the experience that I've had. I mean, I've had more than one experience where I've been put in an awkward position where somebody wants me to try to convince their wife. And I agree. The problem is you have some guy who has been fantasizing about this thing. And then by the time he just, you know, snaps and reaches out and tries to find some dude to talk to about this. And they assume, oh, just because they're on this lifestyle website, he's going to enjoy, you know, looking at pictures of my wife and talking about her. And it's, why would I enjoy looking at a picture of your wife and talking to you about her? What the fuck does that do for me?
Because like, they think that you're sitting in the house in your underwear at midnight too, just jerking off to like randos.
Even like, on Twitter, like that on Twitter, like if you've seen my Twitter profile, you see me having a lot of sex. You don't see any pictures of me on Twitter jacking off to some random dude's wife.
Right.
How?
Well, I mean, first of all, you got a hot wife at home. So, and like, you're getting like extra, like hot, like, I mean, you can pick who you want to, like, you're not just going to be sitting there waiting for some dude to send you his wife's pics. And like, these guys just don't—they don't get that.
Like, do you realize how hard it is to jack off?
They're so into the fantasy.
Yeah, like, you know, when I beat my meat, it's a personal thing. You know, mm-hmm. We've been together for a long time. So you mean to tell me you want me to stare at a picture, beat my meat, and talk to some dude? it's not going to work.
Exactly.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah. No, I get that totally. And a lot of those guys, they're not in the lifestyle. They're wannabes. They're not, you know, and nothing wrong with wanting to be something, but just be better at it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Don't be that. Don't be that kind of sleazy, fantasy riddled, like, you know, make an investment to like actually be this. If it doesn't work out, then it's not going to work out. You know, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, or have patience.
Yeah.
Plenty of guys. I mean, I know one guy who's a great friend of mine who introduced that to his wife the first year they were married. She slept with one of his friends, and then she came back to him later. It's like, I don't know if I want to do this. And it was like 20 years before this topic ever came up. Now she's just like, you know, she'll text him like, I need some dick. She's very much into the lifestyle. She's, you know, very much embraced her sexual energy. But I mean, dude waited 20 years for this to happen.
Yeah. But think about it. So most of the successful cuckold couples that I've interacted with, they were in a relationship, they were married, they were together for a long period of time, and things progress to that place. So they have a whole lot of emotional time in with one another, physical time, you know. Once you're with a person for 10, 15, 20 years, your psyche begins to merge on certain levels. So there's a lot of unspoken things sexually, emotionally, that starts to open your spouse up or open your partner up to this thing. And so they slide into this organically. And when this finally brought up, yeah, there's a knee-jerk reaction, but oftentimes those are the ones who, in my experience, those are the couples who I found were the most successful. But some dude going, oh, I want this lifestyle. You haven't done the hard work emotionally yet. You haven't done, you haven't built the thing together. You know, it takes a lot of love to take a person who has been vanilla their entire life, who has been driven by the social expectations of their mom, their dad, their church, and things like that, to up and start doing some next level freaky shit. Mm-hmm. You know, so
even if it's just between them.
Exactly. You know. Yeah.
And a lot of those guys aren't willing to put in that work. A lot of, like you said, those successful couples, I love their dynamic. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love their dynamic. Because one thing that you understand is, I don't care. Like, even with the hot wife that I dated, she and I, like, our relationship that we had, it was very clear, like, what that was. But what she had with her husband was going to outlast anything she and I had.
Mm-hmm.
They were good, and they understood that. They understood one another at a level, you know. So me coming in was just an enhancement of what they already had. Yeah. And they looked for somebody who was coming in that could enhance it and not try to break up what they had or cause trouble with their dynamic.
And you know, saying that,
if I
will head for the hills if I start interacting with a couple and they're not tight, they're not together.
Oh, yeah.
If I feel I can take your woman, I'm leaving.
Yep. I had one situation where I met this couple, and man, this chick, oh my God, she was, seriously, to this day, she's still like one of the baddest chicks that I've like ever been with. Just insatiable in the bedroom, just body, everything. Mm. But man, her dynamic with her and her husband, like, they later divorced, but you could feel it. Like, it was not good. It was not good. And I was still in that stage of getting where I fit in, you know.
Rookie season, just, I get it. I knew you were about to say very, that.
Very much. Like, I wanted to get with this woman. I had a chance, and, like, I'll be damned. Like,
yeah.
Like, they could have been arguing while I was while me and her was fucking. Like, I'm going to stop for them. Like, hey, y'all good? Like, that's where I was at that moment.
Yeah.
Like, but if they had met me now, I would have been like, yeah, I'm out. No, I'm good. Yeah. I'm out. I can't do that.
Yeah. I mean, that,
and that's understanding too what you want out of this lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. And we spoke about the difference between a bull that's experienced and an inexperienced bull.
Yep.
Because back in my rookie season, there were definitely times where I saw all the fucking red flags and I'm still fucking, okay? You're like, hey, wait, yep. You still letting me fuck? You motherfuckers gotta tell me I can't come back. You know, that was back right. in the rookie season. But then as you start to season the lifestyle and you're looking at these things and it's like, I don't want parts of this. It's not sustainable. I'm not trying to create problems or cause damage, and I'm not going to let it damage me because yeah. unfortunately
then you become part of the fallout.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And I don't want to do that at all. And that's another thing that I just don't like drama like that. I don't do it, you know, in any parts of my life. If I find out somebody's like on drama and just loves to do that kind of stuff, I'm okay. You're out.
You have a nice life.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to do any of that kind of stuff. But on the same tip, that's another reason why, like, so the first 8 years of that I was in lifestyle, I was in and out. And the reason why I was in and out was because I was still vanilla dating. And so when I would find somebody that I was dating and they weren't in the lifestyle, I just focused on that relationship. And then if that relationship ended or when that relationship ended, I'd get back into the lifestyle. Because what I didn't want to do was, number one, I didn't want to be a cheater like that. And then two, I just didn't want to bring, because there was couples that still would have played with me. There was still like, you know, hey, we don't care. We're good. You know, mm-hmm. we're not going to tell. But then if that person finds out, now they're drawn into that. And I've seen situations secondhand where there have been guys who were bulls or call themselves bulls who were dating or married and in the lifestyle. And then the partner finds out, and now the partner's pissed off. And when she's angry and scorned, now she's like, she's not just going to come after you. She's going to come after them. And she finds that information. Now she's going to send information to their friends, their family, their job, even to let them know what they're doing. You know, it's just a bad situation.
Yeah.
And it's just be ethical. Just operate with integrity.
Yeah, that's definitely. And, you know, something I will say this, you know, that's the problem when you're newer to this. And well, let me phrase that. That's not the problem, because if you're a married dude and you're in a lifestyle and you're fucking around and your significant other is not aware of it, then that's a problem. I mean, that's just exactly. a cheater, you know. So we
yeah.
I mean, we live in a space of ethical, consensual non-monogamy. All right.
Exactly.
It's ethical because there's no lie. You have, you know, groups of people, you know, whether it be a couple or a couple and a guy or whatever, who all understand that we are going to have sex and my significant other or my partner is on board with me. And that goes all the way around. So if one person comes in who's a cheater and doesn't tell you they're a cheater, because we've had that experience. One of my wife's playmates, who was her playmate for like 5 fucking years. We didn't know he had a relationship until she showed up.
Mm.
You know, until she literally showed up, and you know she was ready to, you know, attack my wife and her friend, and he was standing there with his mouth open. So. And we never knew. I mean, this guy came over the house, hang out. When I'm out of town, he's fucking a wife. So, yeah, that's just a fucking cheater. You know, we don't count those guys. You know, but,
yeah.
you know, going back to what you're saying about the decisions that, you know, we most of us have made as inexperienced bulls. We've seen things, and you'd seen them before, but you did not you may not have identified it as a problem. But once you hit that stage as a teenage bull, where you identify that something is wrong here, but you say, fuck it, I'm gonna keep going. You're still not a mature bull. You're still not high level, because I'll sacrifice pussy no matter how hot she is, no matter how sexy she is. I'll sacrifice that before I'm the cause of damage within the lifestyle.
Yep. 100% agree.
So what do you do?
You just have to have your own compass, establish your boundaries, know what you're about.
Mm-hmm. Or just simply, I wouldn't want someone to do this to me.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, this would not feel good to me. So I'm going to make sure I don't do it to them.
Yep.
So now, as a bull in the lifestyle, you know, we've established that you definitely have experience. We've established that you're emotionally intelligent.
Some days.
Yeah, listen, as long as it's 80% of the time, that other 20%, we all have the right to be fucked up, you know? 80-20, baby, 80-20.
Some Mondays I'm iffy, but, you know.
I got to look at my wife and go, am I fucking up today? Yeah, okay, I'm going to go back to my room. Knock on the door tomorrow.
Right.
So I have one of the things that I always find that I get disagreement on is I always say that within the lifestyle, cucks tend to be the most problematic person within the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And calm down, everybody. We're not talking about the good cucks.
Right.
We're not talking about those cucks who have their shit together and who, you know, they're not trying to manipulate and play games. But I've always thought that cucks tend to be problematic because they're not influencing the wife, but they're influencing the bull. Mm-hmm. Someone told me I was wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. What is your take on the power that the cuck has within the lifestyle and the level of damage, or when I say the most problematic species within this ecosystem? What is your take on that?
I get where that comes from. I completely understand where that comes from. For me personally, having really gravitated more towards the cuckold lifestyle and playing with cuckold couples, particularly over the last 8 years or so, I don't even call like those problematic ones that you're talking about cucks, because they don't understand it.
Mm.
So a lot of those guys, and I'll say this, so a lot of times I tend to gravitate more towards the cuckolds than stag vixens, and this isn't a knock at any stag vixen that's listening to this or a lot of that are in the lifestyle, but my experience has been a lot of the stag guys are so into an image that they want to portray that they become like these Scorsese's. They're like the directors. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be a certain way. You know? And there's a lot of guys that call themselves cucks that act that way. What I find is real cucks understand, like, whatever power I have in this dynamic is given to me by my wife and then by her bull as she delegates to him. Hmm. What I have is a role, and I embrace that role. They understand that, things open up. And so for me...
So is that the ideal cuck, Or if you were to say of all the cucks you've spoken to, interacted with, and dealt with, not the percentage who you, what percentage of the cucks, if you take them all and put them in a bucket, because unfortunately, there are cucks out there who are in the lifestyle, just like the guy who offered to give you a blowjob, who clearly his wife has been with black dudes. But and so that means he qualifies as a cuck. He still qualifies. And there's a lot of cucks out there on all of these sites and who are actively doing dumb shit. How can we disqualify them as, because we didn't talk, I already disqualified the high functioning cucks. How can we say, how can we discount them? Because they, by definition and by behavior and by the fact that they have a wife who they are letting fuck, they are still cucks. Can we discount them?
Well, I think is, I think the way that you know a real cuck, a true cuck, is he lets you know who's in charge of the relationship. And that's always his wife. He lets you know that this is about her pleasure, first and foremost. And if that doesn't happen, you're not dealing with the real cuck. And those guys, for me, those have been always some of the best guys. Because, number one, the thing that I like about them is they're very confident within themselves. They know what their role is. They're secure in their relationship. They're secure in their role. They know what to, they know what they need to do to bring her happiness. But if you pass the test, if you're what she wants, they're invested in making sure that you know what she needs. That you rise to the task. They're as big a help to you as they are to her.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I definitely do agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how I would say is that's how you would know you're dealing with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a hell of a thing. That is definitely a hell of a thing. Dealing with the cucks who don't have the inner conflict, because I do believe that, which is, this is where I do have sympathy for a lot of cucks out there who are not representing themselves well, because I do understand that there are a lot of cucks who are still in conflict with themselves because of their desires. You usually see that when you have the cuck who after they play, you know, you play with the wife, then he's arguing with her because he didn't like the way she moved the toaster. You know, it's not really about the toaster. It's because his dick got hard and his dick said, cuck me, cuck me, cuck me. And then you cucked him. And then when his dick went back down and his higher brain functions kicked in, then all the societal norms and his desire to be, you know, dominant, and his need to be machismo, and now he's got this internal battle, and it's spilling over to her, and then it also spills over to the bull with the ones who try to do little things to establish a level of dominance over the bull, where they're like, okay, well, you'll find that they give you like they have some super specific request that's out of the norm, and that's their way of passive aggressively trying to assert their dominance over you. Or they're mean to the wife for 2 weeks. You don't hear from her for 3 weeks, then all of a sudden he's gotten past his inner turmoil because his dick's hard again. He's been watching BBC porn, and now he wants her to go and do it again. And so I think that's a big representation of a lot of the cucks that are out there. And I think they're just like I said before, there are a lot more, the bulls that people really want represent 1% of the bulls that are claiming to be bulls.
Right.
The cuckold couples that bulls are looking for represents a very small percentage of the community.
Yeah.
So.
And what separates them is that they have a process.
Mm.
So when I'm talking with a couple, I know what kind of dynamic fits me. So I want to know what, like, okay, do you guys consider yourselves a stag vixen? Do you guys consider yourselves a cuckold couple? And then once I understand that, so what is your dynamic within that dynamic? Like, I have a series of questions that I ask. And if you're not willing to put in the work to have your process, to develop a process, ask those questions, get to know couples, yeah, you'll find yourself running into some very frustrating situations.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But I think bulls that want to be successful, they develop a process, and they also have some. They also develop some boundaries, because one of the things that happens is, and this is one of the reasons why, for a lot of stag vixen couples, I've geared away from, is because when you go in. For me, what I've found is when I go into those situations, I feel like I'm a performer. You come in, lights, camera, action, do your thing. You may even have like a director husband over here who's either sitting back and watching or wanting to participate. And even the wife is, you know, she's looking for a fantasy. You're performing that fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that's over, okay, thank you. We'll call you when we need you again.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm not at that stage anymore. When I go in, I want to be able to have like a nice conversation with you. I want to have like vibe with you. I want to be able to, you know, if we spend time together, like even if I disagree with you, like even if we come from different backgrounds, I mean, some of my best couples that I've met in the lifestyle don't always agree with me. They're religious. I'm not particularly religious, or they have different politics than I do, or, you know, different backgrounds or whatever. But we get along very well because they see me as a human being. They treat me as such. And I'm not just a fantasy performer that they bring, like a basically a porn star that they didn't have to pay anything to bring in, fulfill their fantasy, and I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some guys, that's what they want. A lot of guys get into this lifestyle wanting easy sex. You better understand that's what you want. And you better understand how to deal with couples like that and what to look for to find couples like that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're going to find yourself in situations you don't want to be in. Then you're going to be frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand yourself in this lifestyle. You got to understand what you're looking for from this lifestyle as well. And that's not being selfish. Like,
no.
There's a good selfish and there's a bad selfish,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's a good selfish, because you're not putting yourself in a situation where you have a bad experience for yourself and for the couple.
Yeah.
Because this is a smaller world than people realize. Couples talk. You know what I mean? There's couples that I know that are on different parts of the country that know one another.
Yeah.
Okay. So like there, for instance, I was talking with, I have a couple that I know that's out on the West Coast, in the Pacific Northwest. Fantastic couple. Love them. You know, I come into town, don't get a hotel, come and stay with us. Like your family. You know, we have a great relationship. They know another couple that I haven't played with yet, but that I'm going to play with. Great couple, great dynamic. Very similar dynamic, very similar kind of people. They also know a couple who lives down south, more of a stag vixen kind of couple. I know I'm not going to particularly vibe well with them. If I met them at maybe like a Splash Mocha or something like that, and it was just, you know, like a hookup, it would be great. But like the kind of dynamic that I have with my Pacific Northwest couple, no. So if I go and make play with them and visit them for the weekend and try to have something with them ends up being a bad experience, you know what they're going to say? Yeah, we met Drew. Yeah, it wasn't great.
Mm.
And now they done met a couple who doesn't know Drew, and they've got their, impression of Drew. Like, so you got to be mindful of all that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know? And like I said, if you got your own process, you know what you want in this lifestyle, you're not putting yourself in the bad situations, you're not causing bad situations for other people, you don't find yourself in those situations. You won't damage your reputation and you won't damage your experiences in this lifestyle.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I agree with that. Although I will disagree with one thing to an extent.
Yeah.
I think that. Well, I guess I'm not sure if I can disagree with it because you did say you're looking for something different. I have definitely had the experience both ways with the cuckold couple and stag vixen couple and hot wife couple where you go into play and the husband is fucking overzealous and he's, you know, trying to be a cameraman. And like my boy SKD said, like, hey, I don't need you to tell me how to fuck. You know, mm-hmm. I don't need you to tell me how to fuck her. Unless you're paying me,
right.
Unless I'm being paid to fuck, get the fuck out of my way so I can enjoy myself.
Right.
If the woman I'm on top of, if I'm looking at her and she's telling me what she likes, you know, I don't want you to try to break my cervix. And the husband is over there yelling, fuck her harder.
Right.
No, that's not cool. And I've had that happen all the way across the board. I have definitely, like, behaviorally with couples, I think that overzealous couples are overzealous couples. Whatever area of the lifestyle you're in, I know one of my wife's funniest videos is I go and play with this couple, and they're super nice people. They're a cuckold couple. I think it was like the first time I went to play with them. And so the husband wants to take video. And once I'm in my zone, like I always tell him, like, dude, just don't hover all over me. You know, give me space to work. I like to move around. I like to shift positions. I don't want to try to roll over and kick you in the, you know, trip over you or something like that. So he's taking the video. So he's so excited when it's over. I think I had to work early. So I had to get out of there same thing. If I meet a couple that I enjoy interacting with, I will hang out and talk, but I didn't have time. So he records it on my phone. And the reason why it was recorded on my phone, that was a whole nother thing that we'll get into when the years of couples going, oh, we're going to record, but we're not going to give you the video. Back when I used to accept that
right,
dumb shit.
Yeah.
But anyways, so I get home. And me and my wife were looking. We go to look at the video. So I'm in the shower, and she, because I always call her on my way home. So I call her. Oh, he took video on my phone. So I get home. She takes my phone, and she's like, "Gonna look at the video." So I'm taking a shower, and she fucking busts out laughing, like she's hysterically laughing. And I'm like, "The fuck are you laughing at?" She's like, "This whole video was nothing but your asshole. Only your asshole." Nothing but your asshole. She's like, you didn't feel him. She's like, I can count the hairs on your butt cheeks. And so I watched the video, and it's like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? So it's definitely it's one of those things where yes, I've had the experiences where like the couples behaviorally, I will say this. When guys share their wives, whether they're cucks, stag vixen, hot wife, and behaviorally, guys who are not comfortable sharing their wives are not comfortable sharing their wives. They all pretty much tend to act the same way,
yeah.
You know, and it's also interesting that you, I know you can pick a couple, like if you go and play with a couple who says they're stag vixen or hot wife, you can pick out the husbands that want to be cucks.
Mm-hmm.
You can, like, it's like a neon light on them. And even when that, like, they tell you the shit like, hey, I'm not a fucking cuck. Oh, calm down, buddy. I never said you were. And it's like, right. You kind of want to wink your eye at them like, oh, I know you want to be one. You know, and then,
yeah, for sure.
You know, of course you're not.
Oh, for sure.
Of course you're not, buddy.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. Like, if you're a stickler for definitions, a cuckold is a guy
who likes a technicality.
Who either knowingly or unknowing or is willingly letting his woman be with other men. So I don't care what other title you put on it to make yourself like feel comfortable, because there's some elements that you're like, that's what that is. Like you like seeing another dude's dick go into your wife.
So now it took us an hour and 10 minutes to get to the debate section of this, because you just brought up a topic that I am going to have to debate you on.
Okay.
I'm going to debate you on this topic, and this is why.
Okay. Do we need the presidential debate music or
we
something?
We won't need it because it's not going to last long. It's not going to last long. We won't need it, baby.
Oh, this is a TKL?
It's not going to last long. Okay. Number one. When people say that, and I've heard that said before, well, technically, if you look in a dictionary, a cuckold is any guy who, you know, any guy whose wife is fucking another guy. Technically, a unicorn is a mythical fucking creature that doesn't exist. But within the lifestyle ecosystem, when you say unicorn, it's simple word association. It's kind of like if you hear a word, you know, like you hear like a real harsh word like police brutality. The first image you have in your mind is not a police beating up on a senior citizen.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
So when we say cuckold, we understand within the lifestyle ecosystem as well as society. Because keep in mind, when you think of the word cuckold, when you look at all the places it comes from, you've got the cuckoo bird, where it's a bird that lays its nest in another bird's egg and then flies away and makes that bird raise its egg, and it winds up killing the other bird's bird, and it keeps feeding the fucking bird. Like, so there are so many different things, you know. In fact, when you think of the word cuckold was an insult for a guy. That was the way you insult some guy who you knew that he unwillingly let it. So, like I said, I mean, technically I'm with you, but we know with word association, the difference. Do we need that presidential music or do you want to retort?
I think I'm about to release an ad that says I'm Drew Marston and I approve this message. I read about the time when you said the birds. I was like, damn, the birds? Okay, I think he won this.
I forgot to tell you, I'm a nerd and I'm full of completely useless information, like completely.
Dude, me too. I can nerd out about some stuff. Like you have to, like, I literally had to tell this one couple that I met, and we end up vibing with them. So quick little story. They hadn't met a guy that like just wanted him to be around and was cool with him being around. Mm-hmm. Our first like date, we literally went to like a dinner, and you know, I told him, you know, no obligations or whatever, just, you know, meet one another and see if we're all cool. I find out he's a history buff just like me. So we're both nerding out. That turned her on. And I was like, you guys tell me to shut up about that kind of stuff, because that's my deal. I love that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm a big nerd, man. I can nerd out.
You're speaking my language right now, buddy. You're speaking my fucking language. I like it. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, Drew and I are definitely going to do a series, because Drew is someone who, after having a, you know, conversation, I realize that he is one of the things that I say, you know, represents the 1%. And he's an experienced bull who truly knows who he is. There's no inner conflict. He knows who he is. He knows what he wants. And he's a good resource for not only couples who are trying to identify what a quality bull is, and he's a good resource for single guys who are trying to understand how a guy can be a bull in the lifestyle and be successful. This is Manicorn Q and I did a podcast recently where we talked about things to help single guys out stepping into the lifestyle. And a lot of these things will apply, but, you know, once we step into the realm of being a bull within the lifestyle, and for couples, husbands, for the love of God, don't yell out that you're not a cuck and then say that you're looking for a bull for your wife. All right. If you are in a hot wife dynamic, you're looking for a single guy, which, you know, we nickname that as a manicorn. If you are in a stag vixen relationship and you're looking for someone to entertain your wife, you're not looking for a bull. So if you message me and say, hey, we're looking for a bull for my wife, so you're a cuck. I'm not a fucking cuck. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Based on your terminology, that's what I thought you were. And in those cases, it just tells me that you represent a huge, huge portion of the lifestylers who don't take the time to just kind of understand the terminology and the language within our community, because this is our community. And in today's age, everybody's got their community. So, you know, we've got our community and our tribe. So, you know, we're a stickler for it. And Drew is going to be hopefully somebody on here hanging out with us. And if you have never checked out Spades Magazine, I would say definitely say check it out. And Drew, I'm going to lean on you to explain a little bit about Spades before we wrap this up. Why it exists, how long it's existed, and why people should take a look at it.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. So Space Magazine is a blog that I started in 2014 to really kind of highlight through interviews and special article submissions, Black Bulls and Queens of Spades, women who identified as Queens of Spades. And so really took off, became super popular as a blog, Twitter, Tumblr, and all of that. The platform that I was blogging on shut the blog down for some unknown reason, and I eventually brought it back 2 years ago as a digital magazine, so that's how I publish it now. And it's in a digital magazine form, but you get the same hot interviews, get to learn about people, how they got into the lifestyle, what their fantasies are, what they look for from both the bull perspective and from the QOS perspective. And you also get like some hot stories about their experiences and people submitting different kinds of articles and some really neat stuff. So if you are on Twitter, you can follow me at TheDrewMarston, and you can find all the links there in my pinned tweet. If you're not on Twitter and you're just trying to find out, just go to Drew Marston, that's DrewMarston .gumroad.com, and that you can find every issue there.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to drag Drew and Spades Magazine onto a live Twitter Spaces soon, so we can have multiple people.
For sure, I'd love to do it.
Yeah, I mean being able to ask questions and talk to a gentleman like Drew, who's experienced, and there's a lot of things like we haven't even touched the surface with Drew. We haven't gone into the many details about, you know, the dynamics with couples, you know, the the interaction, because the actual interaction, physical, emotional, sexual, he hit on some things that I absolutely loved earlier. I absolutely loved it. You know, when he was talking about his experience with some of the couples he's played with, you know, the fact that he was able to be in a boyfriend space while not being exclusive. There's so many little gems and things that most people probably won't even pick up on. A lot of your experienced bulls out there are going to pick up on it, the little nuances that makes me and anyone who listens to all of our podcasts, there's not a lot of people I give this level of props to.
I appreciate that.
And it's just because after years of being in a lifestyle, talking to couples, cucks, falling on my face, you know, interacting, it's very challenging to be able to put a person out there that people can actually ask questions to. And there's a couple topics that all the bulls out there, you're going to want to listen to, because I've been getting a lot of questions about how you play with cuckold couples and how far you will go. And we have different levels of this. And Drew has learned his balance, and that's something we're going to talk about. So, Drew, thank you so much for coming on, hanging out.
Glad to have the opportunity.
Listen, I'm going to take advantage of you and have you on here as much as possible, because we got a lot of stuff to get through.
I'm looking forward to it, man.
So until next time, everybody, this is O Faces. This is Mr. Mocha. Wherever you get your podcast, wherever you listen to us at, please go on and like. Please go on and leave a review. And please share with your friends. Until next time, thanks for joining O Faces.
Bring it over to this mirror so I can see your legs. True, I got it so well. Easily, that shit just like a pool.